far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode,
it's our very own Star Wars Christmas special, where we review Star Wars.
Star Wars, nothing but Star Wars, give me the Star Wars, don't let them end. Star Wars, if they should bar wars, please let these Star Wars stay. And hey, how about that nutty Star Wars bar? Can you forget all the creatures in there? And hey, Darth Vader in that black and evil mask, did he scare you as much as he scared me? Ah! Star Wars! Those here in Star Wars! My seventh winner up here! Star Wars!
Alright, I moved my mic to the other side of my desk.
Oh, I thought it were like the other side of a plane of existence or something.
Nah.
I moved it from the Outer Limits to the Twilight Zone.
That's just my inner consciousness.
I think we all experience that. Alright. So I figured Star Wars was a big thing that happened, and then we can talk about whatever else. But, yeah, I'll go ahead and get introductions started. Welcome to the Anime of Yesteryear podcast, where it's our Christmas special, or should I say our post-Christmas special, because we're recording this on the 28th of December, because, well, I had things to do during Christmas. I'm sure you guys did.
Mm-hmm. You saw Star Wars on Christmas Day, didn't you?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Yeah, and I didn't see it till just now, which is why this has had a bit of a delay, but, we've all seen it now, and so be warned that there will probably be spoilers in this podcast.
Yeah, I would just assume that anybody
Darth Vader is Luke's father.
There's these big energy beams called lightsabers. Ships and other ships shoot each other with lasers. I assume anybody listening to this has probably already seen the movie, but I will add the necessary spoiler tag on our site.
If you are still listening to this and are worried about spoilers, then you are probably deserving of being spoiled on the movie.
Yeah. You don't even deserve to listen to this podcast. You should know that we spoil stuff all the time.
Yeah, that happens in every episode.
Yeah, pretty much. But I'll go ahead and do introductions. I am Dustin, and with me is John, the regular co-host. And this time we have a returning guest, Daft.
Yo.
Which, well, pretty much like you guys did a long recording last night of about Digimon plus drunken ramblings from a couple other people. And the Digimon review will come out. I don't know about the other stuff, but we'll see about that.
You're better off listening to none of it, including this episode.
That's a good, well, maybe a good point. I don't know if, like, we put out a Christmas special every year, and I guess people still listen to it. I don't know. But it's like, if they do. I don't expect people to, like, demand that we do a Christmas special every year. And a Christmas special is just us talking about whatever the past year.
I think you should be glad that you have listeners who even want to listen to a Christmas special, let alone a single episode of this podcast.
Daph, did you tell Zionic about your plan to have Peter on here to talk about the year in review?
Oh, no, I haven't fully gone through that. I figured I'd mention it at the end of this.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Hold. Yeah. We'll hear all about that. Anyways, yeah, we've all seen the new Star Wars movie, Episode 7, and I've got things to say about it, and so do you guys. I mean, whoever wants to start first.
So I just want to say,
last night a little bit.
Yeah, I just really want to say, I was really not expecting Benedict Cumberbatch's character to be Khan the entire time. I really didn't expect that, so that was a huge twist for me. I don't know what you guys thought about that.
Okay, wait, which role did this guy play?
I'm referring to Star Trek Into Darkness.
Okay.
Yeah, this was a lot like that, where I felt like a lot of it was hard to, I don't know, like hard to follow, and maybe they should have rewritten the script a little bit. Or
I thought it was pretty easy to follow. It was really straightforward in a lot of aspects, but then some areas it was like, some of it wasn't explained, like how Ace Rebel Pilot was like supposedly supposed to die on the desert planet, and then he came back to the Rebel planet, and Mace Windu was just like, "Yo, bro, I thought you died." And he's like, "Nah, man, you got my jacket. You can keep it, homie."
Yeah, I will say it was kind of weird that Poe Dameron, I believe that's his last name, his, like, when he returns after presumably dying about a half hour before, his explanation for how he got back was a total of one line.
Yeah, there was no explanation. We're like, we all saw what happened. And yet, like, you just happened to show up and they're like, "Oh, yeah, bro, it's cool. Let's go pound some drinks and, you know, some girls after this." Or whatever. Right,
before we get into like the nitty gritty of reviewing this movie, overall, did you like the movie? Yes or no?
I did.
Sure. I'd say like I give it a 7.
Yeah, because I really like this movie too, and I think most of this podcast is us going to be just nitpicking the hell out of the movie. But overall, I really didn't have a significant gripe about anything in the movie. Like,
me?
The majority of the things that, like, either bother me or I thought about later, and I was like, that's kind of weird, was either directly after the movie or, like, after I talked with other people or read stuff online. None of it was during the movie. During the movie, I was completely engrossed in what was going on.
Yeah, like, I would give this movie, like, a solid 8 out of 10. And I'd say that's a pretty fair score. And, like, it wasn't until, like, the credits were rolling and I had, like, my brother and my girlfriend next to me, we were talking about it, that I started kind of thinking over the things that I saw. I don't really have any serious gripes with it, but, like, it's – I think the people that I know that have overhyped this movie because I knew they would, it's not as big as they think it is. At least that's how it is for me.
So the, like, hardcore Star Wars fans – on, like, I don't know, originaltrilogy.net or whatever, how are they reacting to this? Have you guys seen any, like, hardcore nerd responses where they're extremely butthurt like they were about the prequels, or do they seem to be enjoying it?
I've been curious about that, too. I mean, I know I haven't looked because, like, I didn't want to get spoiled on stuff, so I haven't bothered to check any of that stuff out.
Yeah, I can't say I've seen anything either. Overall, I will say, based off the normie posts on my Facebook, I've only seen a single person say they were disappointed or underwhelmed by the new Star Wars.
I know one guy that said that on another like chat group I'm part of. He was just like, "I didn't really like it that much." But I mean, that's like one out of like 20 or 10 or something. So it wasn't like, "Oh, he's totally wrong." It's like, well, you're entitled to your opinion. And I wasn't offended that he hated, like, Star Wars or anything.
I think after how poorly received the prequels were during and after their release, I think the main goal for Disney and Lucasfilm was to present a movie that didn't provide anything particularly egregious or offensive to the Star Wars community. Like, something that didn't have any, big issues that people would complain about, and I think they largely succeeded in that.
Yeah, I think I was gonna say, my thing is, like, the prequel movies that came out, like the Star Wars Episode One came out when I was 13 that summer, and other than seeing Episode One or seeing a really big thing and being hyped up for Star Wars, that was like a really opportune time for that to happen, because it's like, you know, the first movie, real Star Wars movie, other than like the special edition ones being released in theaters a couple years earlier, that everyone gets to like see a brand new Star Wars movie. So we're all super, super hyped. And that's a much different experience, at least for me, than like the Episode 7 coming out that's continuing the story than going back to it. And I guess for me, it's like I wasn't too excited because it's like, you know, I saw all three of the prequel movies, The second and third ones I've only seen in theaters, and I've never gone back to rewatch them since like I saw them in theaters, and that's been over 10 years. And like the episode 3 came out in 2005. I remember getting out of high school in May, going to my friend's house, and we're like, "Hey, we're gonna go see Star Wars." He's like, "All right, cool." And we went to the local theater, like the next town over, and that was the last time I saw it. And like for me, I think it's a unique experience for like people that are like the new upcoming teenage crowd to go see these movies, and that's okay for them to be really hyped up for it. And but they're getting a better experience than I did. But there's no way that like I'm going to go there and get hyped up and to excuse the hype that I experienced 15 years ago or 16 years ago.
Yeah, I wasn't particularly excited about this compared to the prequels, which is to say I was 6 years old when the prequel came out, and the first one, and 9 when the second one came out, and then 12 when the third one came out. And, I mean, I did like them at the time because, you know, I didn't care about the Trade Federation shit or whatever, but, like...
Yeah, that stuff was boring as fuck when you were a kid.
Right, but...
Dude, just pod racing was the most amazing thing. I mean, that's, like, unanimously agreed that's, like, the greatest part of Episode 1. Plus that a Nintendo 64 game that came out that my friends played the heck out of.
Yeah, pod racing...
Does it seem, like, held up? Like, after 15 years? Because it's not entirely CG.
I don't know. But anyway, pod racing and, like, the Darth Maul stuff. And, I mean, there are some good special effects in there. There's, like, some new robots or whatever, like, the things that roll around.
Yeah.
But anyway, like, to a kid, you know, you aren't that bothered by Jar Jar Binks because there are tons of equally annoying characters on TV, you know, like Scooby-Doo or whatever. But the thing is... You know, it's not like I've rewatched that a bunch of times because I enjoyed it as a kid. Like, I acknowledge that there's no way it holds up now. And I just wonder if this is going to be like that where people are going to enjoy it at the time. Like, a lot of people thought Episode 1 was great when it came out. And then later on they were like, oh, actually this was garbage. After they saw it 250 times because they're obsessed with Star Wars or whatever.
Yeah, that's... I've seen the original movie so many times that it's like, if I go and watch it again, it's with someone that's never seen it. So then it's a brand new experience and I'm there to just kind of help share with that with them. And that's the only time, like, that's the only reason I would rewatch the original movies again. And even the prequels too. But other than me just like, oh man, it's May the 4th. I gotta go see this. I'm like, you know, every freaking year. It's like, no, it's not there. It's not in me.
I mean, I'm not, like, a hardcore Star Wars fan by any stretch of the imagination. I don't watch them, like, all the time. I think I've seen all of them twice, and that's it. And yeah. I'm pretty much fine with that. Maybe I'll watch them again sometime soon because of this movie. I don't know. Maybe not. But it's just... it was an okay movie for what it was. It's a lot like Abrams' Star Trek movies where it's... serviceable, and there's some fairly good special effects, and the plot I don't think is all that great, but I'm sure that people will be overanalyzing every segment of it. And Ishtar was like, I don't know if you guys saw this on the chat the other day, but he was like saying, oh, maybe the plot is an adaptation of the expanded universe novels or books or something. And
there's no way.
He was claiming,
yeah,
like,
because this movie's retconned all of that information the past 30 years.
But he was claiming, like, that the whatever the big guy's name is, Darth starts with an S or something, right?
Sidious or Darth Snoke?
Snoke, yeah. Sidious is like Palpatine, I think. But
no. Oh, the theory is Sidious or Snoke is Darth Plagueis.
Oh, Plagueis. Okay, that's right. That's like someone mentioned in the third movie, right?
Yeah, some fucking garbage like that.
Yeah, see, the thing is, I just don't care about that. Like, I haven't...
90% of people don't who are going to see this movie. That's a thing.
I know, but
they're
it's just like...
Star Wars is a big thing. I gotta go see it to fit in.
When I saw it, it's like, okay, who are these villains? Why are they building another Death Star? Why do they keep using this plot? And, like, it's not really clear why... Han Solo's son became evil other than, like, he's just an asshole.
Well, it's just, like, a family legacy that they just, like, constantly deal with. They can't fight off the dark side completely.
It's kind of like a generational thing where they keep going back to the same habitual thing where they have to, like, someone eventually ends up in the dark side. And
I know, but it's so cliche at this point. They've done it already in the original and then the prequels, and it's like, how many of these are they going to do? Disney, they're going to milk this franchise until people don't think it's fresh anymore. Like, this one, because there are no Star Wars movies in 10 years, people were, like, excited about it. And especially since it was the first one with the original actors since 1983. So mm-hmm. It's like, okay, cool, I get to see Harrison Ford again for one last time. Spoilers. But then Mark Hamill's at the end, and spoilers, he's got a beard, and he's, I guess, going to train the... What's the name of the new girl?
Ray.
Ray. Okay.
Ray, mommy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Asuka, and he's going to train them in the use of Evangelions, and that's what the episode 8 is going to be about.
Oh my gosh! If there's like robot Jedi Evangelions in episode 8, it may piss off every Star Wars fan, but I would tell you I would love all that.
That's why the new Star Wars lightsaber was like in the shape of a cross. It's a hint that they're going to be doing Evangelion.
Knew it.
Oh, you're calling it now.
But I feel like these actors, they may be getting a little too old for this. Like, I felt like Carrie Fisher and Harrison Ford looked really old in this.
So next time you watch a movie, look at Carrie Fisher's face and the fact that it doesn't move.
Yes! It's like they had to inject so much Botox and like CGI to make it like, all right, well, you're not that old. There's some aging there. It's like, no, she's aged. It's clear.
A lot.
Yeah, it was like her face looked like she was like sullen and pissed off and like depressed the entire time.
She really didn't do much in the movie, all things considered.
Other than, like, pretend to be a Space Rebel Alliance Commander Princess General.
Yeah, they made her into a general, but she didn't really, do anything generally. She just stood there on some planet that they went to and then left again, like, 10 minutes later. And yeah. I just feel like there was too much going on. They went to too many planets, and I don't think they had enough time to develop any of their characters to where you could actually understand why they're doing what they're doing. Or
I mean, I was kind of happy when they left the desert planet of what, like, Mufasa or Fossa or whatever the heck that place is called.
Jakku or something?
Yeah, whatever. Like, I was happy, like, because I was kind of like, it got to the point where I was like, okay, this movie needs to get away from this planet immediately. And then eventually it did. But I wanted to say about, like, a little bit about, like, I was a huge Star Wars fan as a kid. And in the 90s, that's when they researched it back to see if there's still an interest in Star Wars. So, like, I was into an elementary school when, like, I would read, like, these Star Wars magazines. And, like, that's when I first saw the movies. And, of course, it was, like, the greatest thing ever. And then I got, like, the N64 game and played the heck out of that with Rogue Squadron and Shadows of the Empire. And, you know, so, of course, seeing Episode 1... as my very first, like, experience with Star Wars film, like, I was really excited about that. But, you know, now it's like Disney's taken, like, a whole lot of, like, steps to make sure Star Wars stays as popular as it does. And in a way, like, the people who see Episode 7 now, like, I wish that was our Star Wars movie 16 years ago. Because nobody would play, I don't think, would complain about it as much as they do for Episode 1, even when they talk about it later.
Yeah, I mean there's no Jar Jar Binks.
On the internet lately about, like, revisionist history for Episode 1 isn't that bad. I keep seeing revisionist fucking history for that.
Well, that's because people who, like, our age that grew up seeing it when they were 5 or 6, they are now adults and they're on the internet and they are saying, oh, I saw this when it was a kid, so it must be really good. And...
Well, you know what, John? I saw Space Jam when I was a kid. I think that's really good too.
I haven't seen it since then. I watched Space Jam like a year or two ago. That shit really did not hold up.
Oh, really?
It really didn't.
It doesn't. But don't tell my 10-year-old self that.
Okay, you know what actually did hold up really well? The Good Burger Movie. That movie was quite enjoyable.
Oh, my brother loves Good Burger.
It's awful, but in a good way.
My brother loves that movie so much. And yes, it does hold up. There was one girl in my art class like a couple years ago that was playing it. And I was trying to explain to her, like, hey, you know, this came off of an All That skit back in the 90s. She's just like, what's all that? Like, what are you talking about? And I'm just like, damn it. Like, you really don't know where this came from. And apparently it's a hipster thing to like to get in a Good Burger, but like no one knows. Apparently when you ask them that, like they don't know where the origin came from, which is like, which pisses me off.
Kids these days.
Yeah, really. 20-something year olds these days.
Maybe like that kid like went outside instead of like watch TV all the time. That's weird.
That's probably, or they didn't have cable and had to read books.
Or had strong parenting.
Or all like, that was over by the time they were like watching TV.
That is the more likable reason. or the fair one. When I was talking to Daff last night about my things, about like kind of how I thought about Star Wars,
mm-hmm.
like, I guess for me, like, I kind of have sort of an issue with the protagonist female that they have for, the Jedi in training now, which it's not that I don't have a problem with the girl being a Jedi. It's the fact that she's wearing too many hats. So like you've got a girl that like knows as much about the Millennium Falcon as Han Solo did, if not more. So if she did that, like are you really going to watch a movie where those two just argue over how the freaking ship works? It'll get really dumb and boring and repetitive. So she's also the pilot of the Millennium Falcon, which is like already like a big hat to have. She's a Jedi.
Oh, I found something weird about this. They when they go into the Millennium Falcon, she like knows how long it's been there, all the previous owners of it, but she doesn't know that Harrison Ford owned it and that it was the Millennium Falcon. And but she knows like where the various turrets are and how to pilot it and how to.
The Millennium Falcon had been stationed there for like. Presumably a long time.
But yeah, there's like, no set amount of years on how long it's been there. They put a tarp over it, and she's like, I guess this hunk of junk will work.
But it's like a legendary ship. She should know it, since it overthrew the Empire and all.
Yeah.
So it's like stupid, in my opinion, that she wouldn't know what it was. And same with the Stormtrooper guy. Maybe they're just too young to remember that or something, but they all know.
Well, but that's they all know Han Solo and like Luke's that. Like, names. Like they all thought like Luke Skywalker was a myth and everything with the with like all the stuff from the original trilogy, they do regard it as myth because basically nothing really the status quo really didn't change from the original movies to the current ones. Like there is still bad guys and like there's still this rebel force that is still struggling to get rid of them.
From what I can tell, the Empire doesn't exist anymore, and now it's the Republic again, and that's who Leia is working for.
Well, it's the First Order, but yeah.
It's a resurgence of the Empire, and really, like, the thing that, when you think about it, was, like, you know, they blew up the second Death Star with the Emperor in it, but they still had, like, all this power across the galaxy, and, you know, Return of the Jedi basically ended, like, oh, we defeated the Empire. It's like, well, with a chain of command, even if you take out the head general, the army is not going to just entirely disintegrate like that.
Yeah.
There's going to be someone else that's the next in command that's going to take over. And I can see that the power of the Empire deteriorated over a time, but then it resurged with this First Order. And that kind of makes sense.
Well, I can't tell what the First Order is.
I feel like they never went anywhere.
What is the First Order's goal? Is it just to destroy all life in the universe? Because they're just, like, destroying planets right and left, and they don't seem to have any intention of, like, controlling anything.
I thought they were after the planets that were, like, sort of aligned with the Rebel Alliance the same way in New Hope, where, like, Vader was like, oh, you gave us a fake planet. Well, that's good enough for me. Let's blow it up with our Death Star. And I guess, like, the only way to make this movie even bigger and better than, like, instead of making the same Death Star, let's just turn a whole entire planet into a Death Star. Because, like, having a Death Star in a Star Wars movie is obviously, like, just kind of part of the formula. So, like, you might as well make it, like, a planet at this point. So I don't know if by Episode 9 it's going to be, like, a bigger planet or, like, you know, a sun that's about to die out that they're going to turn into a Death Star. Like, I don't know.
They'll have Unicron show up. It'll transform into a robot.
Yeah. It's a Transformers crossover with Star Wars.
Yeah.
Death Star Unicron.
They can get the ghost of Orson Welles to voice it.
Orson Welles was initially supposed to voice Darth Vader.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's something.
Yeah, that's...
It truly would have been something.
Why didn't he?
Lucas decided against it.
Oh, weird.
James Earl Jones will work, and has, so...
Yeah, I'd say it worked out pretty well, all things considered.
I kind of wonder if the next two movies, 8 and 9, are going to bring back Lando Calrissian. They would have to eventually.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, is he going to show up in this one? And he didn't. And I was like, well, don't they need a certain amount of black people as the black stormtrooper enough?
Well, they only had the one black guy in the original movies, and now they have the black guy with Finn, so they're good.
Yeah, but now it's like you have to have – if you only have one, it's considered like a token. You need to have multiple, you know, or else you're considered racist.
Here's what you do. You pull the Walking Dead scenario where if you have more than one black guy, you kill off the other one in a couple episodes. So I'd say if Lando comes back, they would have to kill him off, or either they kill Finn off. But then if they already killed Han Solo off because he's old, they might as well kill off Lando because he's old. And then Finn becomes the new Lando. It makes perfect sense.
I guess they have Lando appearing in the Rebels cartoon, so they can't they can't just be accused of ignoring him entirely. But that's set before Episode 4. I'm kind of surprised they haven't done a cartoon that is set in the Episode 7 kind of era. The choice of Rebels was kind of weird because it seemed like they're kind of moving away from the pre-original trilogy stuff that Lucas has been so focused on for the last 15-20 years. But then Rebels is, you know, kind of a continuation of Clone Wars with Ahsoka appearing and everything. I don't know how long Rebels will last. I actually saw a story saying something like Disney XD is already considering cartoons to replace it at some point, so I think probably they will eventually do some cartoon about, you know, BB-8 or whatever, like, because I'm sure the new droid is going to be very popular, and they'll want to have something like the 80s droids cartoon but with modern animation, and they can have BB-8 and R2-D2 and C-3PO and Chopper from Rebels and all that, and I'm sure kids would like that.
Hmm.
I haven't seen Rebels myself, but my friends who have seen it say it's really good. I haven't heard the ratings were doing bad. It's just like a random, like, kind of Guardians-esque thing, to my understanding, or it's just a bunch of ragtag people who are, like, put together and then, like, to do missions and stuff, and they eventually end up joining with the Rebels.
I've seen one episode of Rebels, and that was the one that had Lando in it. And I thought it was actually not that bad of a show, at least based on the one episode I saw.
Yeah, it's fairly good, and it's gotten better over time. They've made it more serious, and they've added some big Sith enemies and everything. I can't remember what they're called, like the Eliminators or Exterminators or something ominous like that, but it's fairly good. It probably got off its feet faster than Clone Wars did. The first season of Clone Wars was pretty bad.
Yeah, I never did get into Clone Wars. I know I've seen a few episodes, and I mean, I like the Guinea Ticks, the cartoon one from like the early 2000s when they played it along with like the second movie.
Oh yeah, that one was pretty good.
Like, that's always the one that's hailed that's like being the best one, and that's the one I did see on TV at the time.
I remember when the episode with General Grievous aired the first time, and it was just like, wow, this guy is pretty badass, is what I thought at the time when that was airing. I was like, I don't know, 10 or something, but it was, I remember him seeming like extremely powerful, and he killed like a whole bunch of Jedi. But then when he appears in Episode 3, it's like he's in it for maybe 10 minutes or something, and he seems like a total buffoon, And he just seems, like, so different. I know Ishtar was saying something similar in the chat the other day, too. But and in the CGI one, too, he's pretty lame. But I think that's just a case of Lucas mishandling him. Because, you know, Tartakovsky is just such a better director than Lucas.
Yeah, well, it's the fact that, like, Grievous is always like, "Bah, my plan didn't work. I must retreat again. I'm always retreating. Got to get my retreat ship, my retreat plot set to go every episode."
Yeah, and the CGI one, he's just, like, incompetent. And he, nothing ever happens in the CGI show is the main thing I have to say against it. Is because there's nothing really significant that happens between episodes 2 and 3 that really needed to be shown in either one of these Clone Wars shows.
Mm-hmm.
So they end up just saving, like, pointless side missions, fleshing out these minor characters that no one really cares about, like the endless amounts of fucking clones that they spend so many episodes on. And it's just, who cares about all these clone troopers, really?
I remember the show focused on, like, one particular squad that was, like, a special forces group. And I know the show focused on them for, like, a little while.
Yeah.
And that's like, what I remember the last time I saw it.
Well, I've gotten through, like, halfway through season 4, and I was just watching it earlier. And they spent 4 episodes on this plot where there's, like, this group of clones that are on some planet, and they have... to get a new general called Krell, because Anakin gets called away by the Emperor. And then the general turns out to be bad, which is obvious from the first episode. And he keeps giving them these awful orders, and it just drags on and on for, like, 4 episodes of the same thing over and over. And it's just such a formulaic show. I think Rebels is a lot better than Clone Wars, actually, even though Clone Wars did gradually get somewhat better, but it, like... I think Rebels, isn't it even by, geez, what's his name? Weissman? Isn't he involved with that? Greg Weissman?
I thought he was doing a different project. I don't think it was Star Wars related.
Well,
I know he was doing Young Justice until that got shit canned.
Actually, I think I heard he was on Rebels for a while, but maybe he has left it or something, but,
He was an executive producer. I actually didn't know that.
Yeah, at least at one point he was involved. Anyway, I guess, should we do, like, a plot summary and kind of try to go point by point on this movie, or just give our general impressions?
I guess the general impressions work. I mean, we've kind of sort of spoiled some things about it. I mean, the plot, I mean, there's really not much of, like, a detailed plot to it. It's... You know, it's a planet. We get to meet this new person who's going to be eventually the Jedi / Millennium Falcon pilot. And there's a bunch of desert. I mean, there is that really cool, like, I mean, one thing that in terms of the action and especially the dogfight scenes, like, I knew those were going to be done really well, especially, like, when the two TIE fighters were tailing on the Millennium Falcon when they're trying to get it started. And just kind of how that scene was handled, like, I was impressed, but I was, like, assuming that was how that was going to look. And so, like, I just happened to sit back and just enjoy the ride. I wasn't, like, entirely fanatical of, like, oh, man, it's so awesome that we got the Millennium Falcon. It's doing all those cool things. And I was like, well, I knew it's going to do those cool things because I knew, like, what J.J. Abrams is wanting to do with it. And, I mean, from start to finish, the Star Wars movie is a complete pander to everything Star Wars fans want in a movie, and that's why it looks so good. So, like, to me, it didn't really surprise me much.
Oh, yeah.
Because I knew it was going to be in good hands, especially through Abrams, which he already... I mean, we've seen through the Star Trek movies that it's kind of like Star Wars.
Yeah, he did a lot of stuff that was extremely similar to the older movies, like when the Millennium Falcon was, like, dodging through the building or whatever that...
Oh, the old Imperial Star Destroyer?
Yeah, and it was just like the part where they're dodging the asteroids in the original trilogy. I'm sure they're trying to go for that sort of vibe. And
I mean, it was really cool that there was detail, like when the Falcon hit the ground and you see a bunch of dust kick up, like there was, you know, detail to that, or at least to, like, kind of like, oh, you know, that is what happened if a ship going that fast would hit the desert sand, that it would kick up that maybe that particular amount of smoke so you can tell that it's making contact with the planet. And like, it's just like kind of like cool little fun stuff like that is what I was, what I remember the, like the most, and I enjoyed. I mean, but also like the fact when we go back to, you know, our spoilers on Han, that I guess we already stated that Han Solo does not make it past this movie. But like the minute that we get to see Han Solo like confront his son or Kylo Ren or whatever, I was like, this isn't going to go well. And then there's always the little like voice in the back of my mind like, oh, it could be okay. Like someone he won't be injured that bad. It's like, no, he's not going to come out of this alive. And he didn't.
It was it was like the moment when he was like, Chewie, go upstairs to put the charges. I'll go downstairs. Like between that and his death, and like the death scene took like 10 minutes. And it was like so predictable what was happening, but they actually sold it. Like even though you knew it was coming, they made it actually, they still made it interesting because Kylo Ren was so conflicted about what he was doing.
Yeah, when he's talking about the whole, like, Dad, please take this pain away, and I'm like, you're going to kill your dad. I'm like, oh, this isn't going to go well. And then I was like, yep. And, like, surprisingly enough, like, people in the theater, like, I didn't hear, like, a whole gasp shock thing. I'm pretty sure if I saw it opening night with all the rest of the nerds, like, that would have been annoying yet interesting to see all their reactions. Like, when they're like, no, not Han! You know, kind of thing. But it was like, come on, you know that was going to happen. You just didn't want to admit it.
So I don't really understand the Kylo Ren character. Why exactly is he so evil? I just don't.
Tried to do with Anakin Skywalker in the prequels?
Uh huh.
So, like, that's exactly what they did here, except it works a little bit better because they didn't make him, like, the focus of the entire movie. Like, well, and they kind of skipped like all of, like the build up stuff and just got to the point where he's extremely conflicted.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's the same kind of thing as Anakin and what Darth Sidious tried to do to Luke as well in the original trilogy, but it's just like when you barely get to see his master, you hardly get a sense of like why this guy would be so persuasive when he's just like some big ugly guy.
Well, you've had 6 movies and numerous other content to display that the Force is the dark side is extremely powerful and it's hard to resist. Mm-hmm. Kylo Ren is clearly pretty young, and if Luke wasn't able to properly teach him, or just like the dark side just was so convincing, it's understandable why that would happen.
Yeah,
incredibly fleshed out, but considering they had to juggle about 15 main characters and 15 plots, I think they did a decent job with that plot point.
Yeah,
I feel like they would have been able to do this better.
They only set up that minor plot point there to explain it, and you know it's going to be better explained in the next 2 movies. So like, it's just there. It's enough there to let you know until like the next 2 movies come along.
That's the whole problem with us with anyone attempting to review The Force Awakens. You can't really judge it until you have all of the parts.
Yes.
So you really can't truly determine if this movie is successful until you see if the episode 8 and 9, if things that are established in episode 7 pay off in episode 8 or 9.
I'm gonna say it will.
I'm largely, I mean,
it would have to.
The director for 8 is extremely promising. The guy who did 9 did Jurassic World, and that was a serviceable film. I'm sure it'll be fine.
If you take all the, like, the third movies and, like, every time they made a Star Wars movie, like, episode 3 and episode 6, it's always usually serviceable to, like, the action scenes and, like, okay, you know how this is generally gonna turn out in the end. You might as well just like go all the way and go all out. So if you have like Jurassic World, which was visually a pretty awesome action movie and a fun movie to watch, then like I assume that like the director tied to episode 9 is gonna make that episode 9 a fun movie all around. As long as the pieces are put together with at least the main plot in some way. That's just the way, a way to look at it. But then also like we're supposed to be getting like a Star Wars movie every year, so then like next, like coming up next year, or next December, we're gonna supposed to get like a movie that's about taking place of the events before episode 4. And then there's going to be like a backstory behind Han and then a backstory behind Boba Fett.
So the one with Han Solo, was that the one where they had the director from Fantastic Four attached and then he got kicked off of the project?
Supposedly. I think, I don't think no one ever commented on it officially, but that is the general understanding. Which is fucking amazing.
I
didn't hear that.
Yeah, I just have a feeling that's not going to turn out well. I mean, how much
did we ever do a podcast for the Fantastic for the recent Fantastic Four movie?
Yeah, we did a podcast trashing it.
Okay, yeah, that was
We put it out like 3 months ago, Def. You recorded it like back in August, I think, when it came out, and then I put it out maybe like a month or so later.
Yeah, I think it was so fucking bad. I was complaining about it to a friend earlier today for like 15 minutes.
We did like a scene by scene trashing of it, basically saying everything that was wrong with it.
Yeah,
I didn't really go through and edit anything out of it because I was like, I don't really want to hear 2 hours of a movie I haven't seen that I already know that's bad. So I just kind of just went like, you know what, this isn't really edited. I'm just put an opening and ending at the end of it. And shipped it out.
There you go.
So I have no idea how that episode turned out.
Probably terrible.
Yeah. Like the movie. But it's only fitting.
Yeah, I mean, I really like the concept of Rogue One. I think the cast is quite interesting. They're doing the same thing like they did with Episode 7, where we still really don't know much, if anything, about it, other than like a two-sentence tagline and a bunch of rando characters. So we'll see how that turns out because it worked for episode 7 because you already had a basic understanding of most of the world and also quite a few of the characters. But in this, it doesn't really look like there's going to be any returning or recurring characters from the other movies. So it'll be interesting to see how that movie does both as in the box office after the world record setting that The Force Awakens has done, and also just creatively what they'll do.
It sounds like a video game, the title of it.
I mean, it just sounds like a heist thing. It kind of sounds like Rebels in a way.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know how like the next movies or how Rogue One's going to be, but I mean, I think it'll do well at the box office, but I think probably most people are going to stick to the episodic content.
Well, yeah, it'll probably do well enough that they'll go ahead with making all these spinoffs. I would be surprised if they didn't milk it where they had a movie coming out every single year. But I just feel like people are going to get sick of Star Wars after they go to, like, after they do this trilogy. You know they're going to start on another one right away. It's not going to be like when George Lucas had it where they would spend 10 or 15 years between each trilogy. Like, that's not the way Disney operates. They don't care about like coming up with these ideas in detail. They're just going to turn something out right away after this trilogy's over. They'll start back up.
Because like we've already been through like this is like the third renaissance of Star Wars, and like if you're going to do a fourth, you need that 10 or 15 year break before the next one comes out, and that's perfectly fine because then you need the next generation to come up. That's going to be your new fan base. That's going to be able to access all the original movies and be really excited for the next three that are going to come out.
Yeah, but we already know how Disney handles these things from the Marvel movies that they've acquired. They just relentlessly churn them out 2 or 3 a year every year, and they're just unceasing with it. And it's going to be the same way with Star Wars, I'm sure.
Yep.
I'm very interested to see if the superhero bubble will blow up at the same time that the Star Wars bubble will inevitably blow up. Because of all the superhero movies we're getting, it's definitely going to be a point where they can't really make, like, eventually one of these Marvel movies is going to fucking bomb. And like, it's going to happen. Like, how are we going to top Infinity War? Especially when Robert Downey Jr. doesn't really want to do these movies anymore. Chris Evans says he wants to fucking retire. Like, eventually they're going to make enough fuck you money where they can't be bought to make the movies anymore if they're too old.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how they'll deal with that. And if that'll have any impact on Star Wars, since that those are both owned by Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it does seem like these actors are getting tired of playing these same roles over and over, with Harrison Ford quitting as Han Solo, Downey Jr. not wanting to do Iron Man anymore, and Evans, and I think isn't also the actor for Thor. He said he doesn't want to do it anymore after some point. But yeah, there's been so many incidents like that, and I guess they can just try to find new actors, but I don't know if they'll be able to find stars those as big as those ones to replace them. Like, I don't know that anybody's really going to be seeing episodes 8 and 9 for these new characters. Does anyone really feel any sort of connection at all with these, you know, the new girl and the new black guy and everything? It seems like they're just, I don't know. I didn't feel like they're all that well developed where I'm all that interested in seeing what they do next. It's more like, what's Luke been up to for the last 30 years?
Well, do you know why I'm interested in Rey's plot?
To see who her parents are?
Well, yeah, because you want to see what her thing with Luke is. Because that's how they set it up at the end. Like, you're mostly interested in the side characters because of the relation, literal relation or just general connection to the other characters that are already established. Which I don't think is a bad way to do it. I don't think that's a bad thing.
Well, it just makes them so reliant upon the old characters, and when all the old actors are gone, what do they have to, you know, to have left as their own? I mean, it's not like they're all that interesting without the old characters to bounce off of.
I don't think the new characters are particularly bad at all. I mean, I wouldn't really consider Finn like replacing an established character. Like Poe, you can't argue is kind of a Han Solo replacement.
Yeah.
There's a lot of similarities. Rey kind of fits all three of the characters, in all honesty. Because she is a pilot, she can use the Force, and she is like an ass-kicking strong female character.
It's three hats in one. I feel like that needs to be three different characters. That's like my other kind of gripe there, but it's like, you know, I don't know. And like, I don't know. I guess Chewie's going to still be around. Who knows? But
so do you want the conspiracy or the big theory on Rey and why she's so OP?
Okay,
sure. Why not?
So this is a growing fan theory online.
Is this the thing that you posted?
Is this
the
Tumblr?
Deleted?
No, not to my understanding. My cousin Mook's at Reddit, I think. But So Rey gets captured, and Kylo Ren tries to read her mind. Using the Force. So when he uses the Force, it ends up unlocking memories that had been locked away by someone, presumably Luke. And those memories are kind of displayed when Rey touches the lightsaber, and she has, like, those could be considered flashbacks. Like, she in theory could have been at the Jedi camp. She could have already have known Luke because Luke was her father, stuff like that. So, and then after the Jedi camp, Luke like locked away her memories or something to protect her because he felt guilty about what happened and stuff like that.
This is like the plot from Total Recall then.
I haven't seen Total Recall.
Oh, well, in Total Recall, Arnold Schwarzenegger is like, has repressed memories of, being a former spy agent for Mars, and he has to get his ass back to Mars and save the Mars race. Total Recall is an amazing movie. Not that Colin Farrell piece of crap.
Mm-hmm.
Deft, what was the thing that you posted the other day on the chat that Zionic deleted? It was like something in a video game.
Oh, that ended up being fucking bullshit anyway. There was something from a video game where Kylo Ren said, like, I forget what the first part was, but he supposedly said cousin, but it turned out that he actually said curses. But because like the game triggered two different responses at like one after the other, it kind of sounded like curses. But that did get debunked.
Oh.
Yeah, that doesn't fucking matter. Okay. But yeah. So in theory, Rey So what Rey's memories were unlocked, and she already had had this training with Luke and the other Jedi candidates before Kylo Ren apparently killed them all. So she already had some knowledge with the Force. So that would explain how she was able to use the Force. So
that makes sense, because like it's kind of like I kind of felt it was annoying that it was like, oh, it's like, you know, I think you said that she was the Mary Sue, where it's like, oh, she picked up his lightsaber, knows what to do, she's so good at the Force. But it's like, you don't just instantly be good at the Force like that. Like, it always took time to prepare. And she picked it up instantly, where she knew how to fight and use the lightsaber.
Right, so and in theory, she could have used the Force to read Kylo's mind to kind of get further knowledge on the lightsaber stuff. Like, that kind of explains that. And then she spent like a decade or so being a scavenger. So in theory, that's where she learned her combat skills. I don't really see how she would have learned to have been a pilot as a scavenger, because like she's using that vehicle early on, but that thing doesn't really – piloting that like tiny vehicle is a bit different than the Millennium Falcon. I don't really think that theory works for that, but
– dude. There's a huge difference between riding a motorcycle and piloting a cargo plane. I mean, that's like, you know, her little hover box on the desert is like a little Honda motorcycle, and then the Millennium Falcon is like a cargo jet. I mean, they're two opposite things. And she had trouble trying to pilot the Millennium Falcon at first, but I think she's been like working around all that stuff, like that when she was there and doing her scavenging, that she's picked up on many skills, which is why she was able to pick it up so quick. And maybe that is one of her Jedi powers, where, you know, she's able to kind of pick up on technology quicker. And there's that too.
Right. So I think that theory is pretty solid, because I like Rey being OP didn't terribly bother me during the movie, but like afterwards, thinking about it and seeing other comments, it did kind of strike me as she is kind of overpowered. That doesn't make her a bad role model. It doesn't, like some people believe by calling her a Mary Sue, that's what that implies. It just says that she's not a great character, which I think is a fair criticism, if that's how they feel. If it does turn out that it is just like, if it isn't something like how I just described and she just like magically had all these abilities, but I seriously doubt that. There must be an explanation that will be given in episode 8 or 9.
Yeah, I'm sure there's more to come about these characters, but
right, and that's the whole problem is you can't really judge these movies until all the parts are out.
Right,
and that's a very fair assessment.
I mean, we can't say, oh, this new trilogy is all going to be terrible. I mean, or it's all going to be great, because we still don't know what the other two movies are going to be like, but. Mm-hmm. But it's just like there's a lot still to be covered, which I guess is promising for future installments, because it will allow them to tie together better. But
right. Can I talk about one point that I do really think I have yet to see a justifiable theory to explain?
Sure.
So when R2-D2 is introduced in the movie, he's just in low. He's like dead. He's apparently in low power mode, trying to find Luke or something.
Uh-huh.
And then after the whole where Han dies and everything, the Rey and Finn get back to the base, and all of a sudden they come back with the map, with like the map piece, and then magically R2-D2 wakes up and has like 99% of the map already found except for the one missing part.
Yeah.
So apparently J.J. Abrams has commented on it, saying that R2 just like coincidentally happened to wake up that time. That is the excuse that they're going with. But there has to be more to that. And I've yet to see a theory that really properly justifies that.
Well, why didn't the Rebels just like plug him into a battery charger?
Exactly, like things like that. Like apparently he was like not responsive or something. I think that's what C-3PO said.
Oh. Yeah,
it was a stupid excuse like that.
The excuse was stupid. Like, we tried everything. It's like you just have it sitting there, being like, you know, office decor furniture. Like, have you tried dismantling the robot? Like, well, we don't. I mean, like, yeah, we thought about it, but I think that nah, we can't. We give up. Our hands are in the air. We can't do anything about this R2 unit. Let's just put it off to the side and put some boxes around it until it wakes up finally.
Yeah, the way it shows up at the end, it just comes across as like they're trying to lead into the second movie, and they couldn't be bothered to come up with some sort of rational explanation for why R2 would be back awake, so he just shows up and everyone's like, oh great, R2-D2's here, and they hope nobody notices that it makes no sense.
Yeah, I really was unimpressed with that.
And what's up with C-3PO's arm being red in this?
So they can sell more toys, and when, so like if they had done the original C-3PO, like just his regular model, then people would just be like, oh, we just fucking repurposed the original toys. But now that he's red, has a red arm, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's a collectible right there.
Exactly. No, I've already seen the Funkos with C-3PO's red arm and swords.
Of course.
Yeah.
Even though C-3PO has like three lines in the movie.
Thank Christ. I feel bad. Like, doesn't the guy who played Chewbacca, doesn't he have, like, back issues or something? Like, he had a pretty heavy-duty role in the movie.
Probably so. I mean, like, he's been
he's in the Chewie.
Yeah.
And that costume
I think one. Oh, I was going to mention one thing. Like, the other thing I kind of noticed that was going to happen was when Rey was going down in the basement of that, like, outpost. And I was like, there's a lightsaber down there that's calling her. And then like, she went to the box. I'm like, there's a lightsaber in there. And then lo and behold, it was a lightsaber. And I was like, I already knew this. I was so easy to call out. It's like, what did you expect that wouldn't be in that box to try to pay homage to the original movie?
Have you guys heard how during the flashback scene you can hear a number of characters like Obi-Wan and Yoda?
Whose flashback?
When Rey touches the lightsaber. Okay. And she like they go through those like the memories and stuff. You can hear Yoda and Obi-Wan.
I missed that part.
I don't really remember.
I didn't know about it until I read it online. What's really cool is they actually used a line from Alec Guinness, who did Obi-Wan in the original trilogy and is long fucking dead. They actually someone cut up a line from the original Star Wars where he said afraid, so it just says Rey. So they used that, so Obi-Wan says Rey, you're taking your first steps. So the Rey is from Alec Guinness. And then the rest is actually newly recorded dialogue by Ewan McGregor, which to my knowledge is the only connection to the prequels. I can tell.
Didn't the original Obi-Wan like hate Star Wars?
Yeah, he did. I think there was a story where he went to a convention and some kid wanted him to sign things, and he told the kid, like, you need to watch better movies than Star Wars.
I feel like he may have been joking.
But no, I think he was dead serious when I heard about that. I was like, he's probably one of those like old salty actors that just needed a paycheck that bad.
Yeah, he was not into it at all. I've heard like a bunch of stuff about how he hated Star Wars.
Yeah.
That's great. He probably was like, I think he was like a serious, like, well-known actor before Star Wars, and then that's probably all he was known for after that.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's why he hates it, yeah, because he's like, oh, I'm such a serious, dignified actor, and these people only like this stupid science fiction junk.
That's what I've heard.
So he would probably hate being used like that in this movie.
Well, the dead can't really talk unless they're true Jedis.
Yeah.
So, for the purpose of Disney movies. I don't know. I got nothing else I want to talk about in Star Wars. We've been going at this for an hour.
Okay.
Unless you guys want to, like, say some or finalize it or something before we talk about, like, Christmas or general, like a long Christmas special closing remarks, then they could last for who knows how long.
Viku just got on the Slack chat and said, are you still recording?
Yeah, I saw that too.
Too late now.
Yep.
I mean, we could get him on, I guess, but it's like we've already talked about
it. How was the theater experience for you guys? Like, did you encounter any psychopath fans?
No, nope, that's why I waited a week. That
yeah.
I went.
I think. Yeah. I think all of us did actually. I went on Sunday of opening weekend, so I guess most of us avoided the lines and psychos.
Yeah.
I will say, in line, I went Sunday at like 9:30. I was able to get a ticket like an hour beforehand. It was just kind of like on a whim thing that I decided to go. And there's a lady in line who had, she had a Pikachu that she, like stuffed Pikachu she got from Build-A-Bear, but it had like a Leia costume. Like it had the Leia hair and robe, and I was really weirded out by that.
That's strange.
And then as like right before the trailer started for the movie, this fat woman walked up of like her husband and sat directly behind me and my friend. And all of a sudden I just hear this like little like high pitched squeaky voice come out. And I realized she brought a fucking kid with her, which
I had one of those too. Like there was some baby crying or some kid like crying or something like halfway through the film. And I'm just like, take that thing outside. And like, I didn't hear it after that.
Well, and that's the thing, like I get, like, a sitter is expensive. I assume a sitter is expensive and not always easy to get, but you were taking the kid to a 9:30 show. The movie's not going to get out until around midnight and you still have to drive back. And if you have to bring the kid to the movie, you're going to bring the kid on opening weekend when it's going to be really fucking busy and you could potentially ruin the experience for people. I mean, overall, like, the kid really wasn't bad. Like, the only time the kid did anything during the first hour and a half was when Finn took off his helmet for the first time. The kid commented, "Is that the bad guy?" Because obviously, we're awful.
Because he's black also, and you live in New England.
Yeah, exactly. What are those? We don't have those here. And then the other time, I couldn't tell if the parent decided they like realized what was probably going to happen, or if a kid needed to use the bathroom or something, but the kid left the theater during the Han Solo scene for the most part, not the death scene, which the kid was uncooperative to go down the stairs, and I was like, I was very pissed because I was afraid the kid was going to have an outburst, but overall the kid was mostly fine.
But, well, how old was
seriously?
This?
How did the kid take the giant like tentacle monsters and Han's like smuggle ship?
The kid didn't really scream or like yell or anything. I think he asked his mom a couple stupid questions, but that was about the like that's about.
Yeah,
that's
like, kids ask stupid questions all the time. That's how they learn.
Yeah, it's not bad. And like the kid was quiet. The kid like it was not bad. But it could have been a lot worse. Like, I was close. Like, if a kid said anything during the trailers, I was going to walk over to the counter and be like, I want my ticket for the 10 o'clock showing, please. Because I'm not dealing with this fucking shit.
Def, is it like a 5-year-old? Or, like, how old do you think this kid was?
I think it was around 5, because it was definitely young.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Star Wars is ultimately, like, a kid's franchise, especially nowadays. I mean, I'm sure that's what they're going for with producing so many toys and everything.
Man, I'm waiting for that toy to come out of the tentacle monster in the movie. Like, so that sells like 100,000 units.
I'm sure all the SAO fans will buy it out. Oh.
So actually, I went to a comic shop in Somerville, which is like a suburb of Boston, earlier today. And this comic shop, like, they had comics, but their big thing was they had a ton of 80s and 90s toys, most of them still in the box. But most prized possession, or the most interesting thing there to my friends and I, was they had a backpack that was shaped like Jar Jar's face. It was fucking amazing. It was too expensive for us to pick up, but it was pretty
soft. Man, I don't even remember that ever being made when episode one came out.
Oh, that's so bad.
I have the episode one backpack, but it's like Qui-Gon fighting Darth Maul, and I got it when that came out.
I think I remember that one. The only thing I have of episode one was Blockbuster that held a contest where they did a raffle for Yoda statues, or like there, and it's like a real size Yoda statue. And there was like three other people that put their name in there, and like they didn't want it, but then my family put in like 80 little tickets and stuffed it in that box every time I went over to Blockbuster. And then eventually they called us and were like, heck yeah, we're going to take it. So Yoda's in our storage garage at the moment because we don't have room to put him anywhere. But at the time, it was worth like $400, and I think his value is still there.
That's dope.
Yeah. Oh, I see the backpack now. That's
It's oh yeah, it was fucking horrifying.
Yeah, that's pretty creepy.
Honestly, yeah, if I had seen it,
I'm gonna
before,
use that for show notes.
Yeah. Oh yeah, exactly. That's why I put it there. Like honestly, if I had seen that before the movie came out, I would have made sure I would have bought day one tickets, bought like an episode one shirt on eBay and this backpack, and would have just like fucked with people so much.
You would have been
mad. Just like make some of the Spurgy people in line, just like make them like cry themselves and just like slowly fold into a fetal position.
You should have just like
think this movie going to be grand.
You should have just screamed.
Never
during,
do that again.
Scream during the showing. Where's Jar Jar? Show Jar Jar.
Definitely.
Oh, man. This is the first movie without Jar Jar since 1983 of Star Wars.
Oh man, I rewatched through all the newer or not the newer the original trilogy with my folks on Christmas Day, and I really did not remember the Ewoks being as prevalent as they were in Return of the Jedi.
Oh, like, they were.
I didn't realize they were in over half the movie. I was really fucking annoying.
Yeah, everyone seems to hate Return of the Jedi recently because they rewatch it and they're like, hey, there's Ewoks in this. I hate children's characters.
Oh, man. Remember in Iron Man 3 where there's a kid in, like, over half the movie?
Oh, yeah.
Classic.
I do not remember much of Iron Man 3.
Well, yeah, because it was a fucking terrible movie.
Iron Man, like, lands.
I remember Tony Stark's house blowing up. That's all I remember.
He, like, lands in some random barn.
I think that was the second one.
I thought it was the third one.
Maybe it happened in both. Both were pretty fucking terrible. Both 2 and 3 sucked. 3 more so.
The 2 is definitely better than 3.
Well, 3 had the kid. 2 was pretty shitty, honestly.
I remember more of 2, actually, now that I think of it.
Yeah. That just had the Mandarin, and it was, like, not Mandarin.
Yeah, they totally blew the Mandarin thing.
It was, like, half Asian Russian with electric ropes.
That was
in 2. And he whipped up Formula One cars. I remember that.
Yeah, that was...
And then Scarlett Johansson changing the back seat. Now I remember that scene, too. All right, well, that's pretty much it.
I think that's probably one of the more worthwhile scenes.
Well, I mean, anything with half-naked Scarlett Jo can't go wrong.
Oh, actually, Xenonic, what do you think of Scarlett Johansson in the Ghost in the Shell American edition?
All right, let me ask you this. Is there a director tied to it, and is there a script?
There is a release date, but I don't believe there is a director. I'll look that up right now.
Okay, I look at it this way. No matter what comes out, I will see it. But I'm not like remotely curious unless there's a director and a script tied to it. And I'll be more curious when the script gets leaked, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And
so
we all get
director...
to read it and criticize the heck out of it.
Well, like this is a movie that will come, that is going to come out. It's dated for March 31st, 2017.
Right.
The director did, he did TV advertisements for Halo 3.
Okay.
Oh, he did Snow White and the Huntsman, which that was a decently received movie.
Okay.
That came out in 2012. Like it did pretty well, and I don't recall reading anything particularly.
Well, those Halo 3 commercials were done really well, too. Like, any of the live-action segments are done really well.
I'll take your word on that. I honestly don't recall them.
Yeah.
And then looking at IMDb, one of the writers, his only other credit besides this movie is Straight Outta Compton. And the other guy, he wrote a movie called Street Kings. And then the other two things are not, like, have not come out yet.
Okay.
So, script's questionable. Director is probably could have gotten a worse pick. And I still think Scarlett Johansson, like, since obviously they had to cast a white person for the role, like, Scarlett Johansson is probably one of the best candidates.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is, like, when I think of Scarlett Johansson being playing the part of the major, like, I'm kind of like, you know, that actually kind of works out. I think she can do a pretty good job. As long as, like, it's not Aeon Flux levels are terrible. Because Aeon Flux like had some things that kind of looked good, but that whole movie was a pile of garbage.
Yeah, I think Disney and DreamWorks are putting it out, more so DreamWorks. So there is a chance it might not suck.
Yeah, all right. I mean, until I see a trailer or something, then I'm not like that thrilled about it, to be honest. I mean, yeah. Mamoru, I don't know how much Mamoru Oshii or Masamune Shirow are going to have a hand in it, other than just being like, probably hardly none.
Hey, did we bastardize your original work? Hey, did we pay you enough? It'll be like something on that level.
Yeah, I don't think Masamune Shirow really cares anymore. Mamoru Oshii was like, he didn't want to do the second Ghost in the Shell movie when he was forced to make that. Because for all he knows, he's like, neither one of those two people care that much. So this is really coming from an anime fan's movie to make something, which most of the time probably does not turn out as well as you would think. But we'll see. I don't know if VQ's coming on, but I mean, like, I've got nothing else to say on Star Wars. I mean, that's why we jittered off of,
Huh?
All right. Oh. We're adding VQ now.
It's already got him as a contact.
I'm trying to. I don't know if it's going to work.
Okay. Well, whatever. Gee, break my heart that we can't add him on here.
Rip in peace.
Yeah. No, I figure, like, now we can go into giant Christmas special closing remarks. Like, what did you guys get for Christmas? And, like, I know, like, Dafty wanted to talk about, like, going to see Hateful Eight.
Yeah. Good shit.
Yeah, if you want to talk about that, you can.
Oh, I thought we were doing Christmas stuff first. Sorry.
All right. Well, I mean, like, it's all the same. Like, this is the part where it's like, okay, we organized everything in an hour and 10 minutes of Star Wars. Now just do whatever the heck you want.
All right. Random garbage. Okay, so I saw The Hateful Eight today with a couple of buddies of mine in Somerville, which is right outside of Boston. I'll send you the picture for show notes. So I saw that the Somerville Theater, which turned 100 this year.
Nice.
They had like a bunch of like posters, like original posters from like the 30s and 40s. They had a bunch of ticket stubs from like concerts they had held decades ago. They also had a bunch of like program booklets for stuff they had previously shown, which included a 3-week Ren and Stimpy stint. I couldn't exactly figure out what that was. If they actually like screened Ren and Stimpy or if it was just John K. work. And they also had, Mike and Spike's Twisted Animation Festival. Like, I guess they had had that at some point. And, they screened Bugs Bunny shorts and stuff like that. So that was pretty sick. So the theater itself was about 1,000 seats. And we went to a 11:45 a.m. screening. And we got there about 20 minutes beforehand. So, and their line was probably about 50 deep. And it was actually cold finally. And by cold, I mean still above 30 degrees, which isn't really that bad for December. when we got our ticket, they actually gave us a like 12-page program booklet. Printed really nice. Like it has a bunch of technical details behind the movie, a bunch of really nice pictures and just like explanation of the characters going in. Like it was really well done. So they described it as like the roadshow experience, which I guess that was like a way that movies were previously distributed in like the 50s and 60s. The guy who actually introduced the movie, which there was someone who introduced the movie to us, described that Tarantino's use of the roadshow experience as kind of a bastardization of it. But it's basically like, it's the closest contemporary thing we would get to it. And also the big perk was, this theater was one of, I think 97 other theaters that, got the film in the 70 millimeter format, which is a higher quality film print. Like normally film is at 35 millimeter, but it's, most things are digital now. And it was also, they noted that they were like one of the few theaters that actually were not having issues with their print of The Hateful Eight because they have, they have been running a 70 millimeter projector for literally decades. And it was still in operation, so it was pretty easy for them to get it set up. So yeah, we also, we sat in the balcony, which is an interesting experience to watch a movie. My main complaint was that because it's a 100-year-old theater, they did not, I think they kept like the original layout of the seating, and the seating was extremely cramped.
Yeah, because nobody weighed 300 pounds 100 years ago.
Yeah, as being a 6 foot tall gentleman, my man legs really did not fit in there. but fortunately, Quentin Tarantino was kind enough to put an intermission in between the movie. So I was able to feel my legs and get a Harpoon cider. Shout out to Harpoon Brewery. The movie started out with an orchestral overture, which was pretty cool. The guy who did the score for Tarantino, he like had scored movies like The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. Like he's been around, he's like a bazillion years old and he hadn't done
that in 40 years. You know Morricone?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
The name I can't pronounce. Yeah, he did the score for it. I mean, well, say, I know neither John nor Zionic have seen the film, so I don't really want to get too much into spoilers because I think both of you have interest in watching it. But what I will say is having only 3 hours of sleep and, before watching it and driving over 2 hours and going on the Boston subway to get to the movie, I stayed awake for the entire fucking thing. So I think that should show a testament to the quality of the film. I think I will say I still like Django more, but I would still say that it's a quality film, and I'd say it is something that is worth seeing in the theater. Not maybe, like, if you don't have a 70 millimeter in your immediate area to go see, I'd say that going to see a digital, like the digital version that'll be in theaters in a week or two will more than suffice. Mm-hmm. But the film is very solid. My main gripe is Quentin Tarantino is the narrator of the film, but does not personally appear in the film. And my highlight whenever I see a Tarantino production is when he is acting in the film, because he is a fucking terrible actor, and it cracks me up every time he appears in it.
And he does minor roles too, like as like, oh, I'm the bartender in Death Proof or something.
Yeah, he was a guy who ended up getting Django after, I think he gets sold off, I think, like in the third act or something like that. I don't remember exactly.
Okay.
It's been a while. But yeah, I just remember, there was a movie he produced, for Japan that was, this came out in 2007 called, Sukiyaki Western Django. And the movie is like, it, despite being all Japanese actors, the movie is in completely in English. But yet the person who has the worst English dialogue, or like who has the worst English accent, is Quentin Tarantino, who appears in the film for a decent amount of the time. And that just
is this,
really
is this on an intentional level, or is this him just like
I how really he, don't know. I really want to think talks. That no, it's just Tarantino is just fucking terrible. But you never know.
So I do want to ask, like, how did you think of Kurt Russell's role in this movie?
He's really so, like, what has he really done since Death Proof, in all honesty?
Minor stuff here and there, but, like, I'm a big Kurt Russell fan, so I'm still going to see it.
Yeah, I mean, he's being billed as the main, actor in this film, I would say. Well, him and Sam Jackson, and he does have a pretty strong role. He gets some very choice moments in the film, I will say that.
All right.
Yeah. Also, expect to hear the N-word a lot. They say it a lot. But it's just to be expected the movie happens shortly after the Civil War, and there are characters that were formerly on the Confederate and Union sides. That was pretty solid. But yeah, no, I definitely recommend the film. I wouldn't say it's like the best movie I saw this year. I would say I enjoyed Star Wars more than this, but it's still a very, very solid film.
Do you want to talk about what you got for Christmas? Might as well.
I got this microphone that you can actually hear me speak on.
I am very proud of you for doing that.
Yes, I got a Blue Yeti microphone. It was like $70 on Amazon. Shout out. Shit. Yeah, highly recommend. I'm going to record competing podcasts.
We actually have Viku joining our podcast. I don't know if he can hear us or not. Maybe not. I don't know.
Actually, yeah, I don't know if he's actually in.
It even though his icon kind of says that he's in.
I think John has to properly add him. John, why don't you... I guess his microphone isn't working.
Oh.
I guess, yeah, why don't you talk about what you got for Christmas while we try and work out a technical difficulty?
I really spent more on other people than myself. So, like, I want to buy more gifts, and I got, like, a few things. The only thing one of the things I got was a Star Wars-ish t-shirt from a Mexican restaurant in Greenville. And it's a place called Chewy's. And that was the photo that I posted up before I went to see Star Wars. But they had a t-shirt there that said Juan Solo. And it's like a Mexican and in the same pose as like Han Solo with his blaster. But instead of holding a blaster, it's a chili pepper. And I was like, yeah, I'm definitely going to wear that when I go see Star Wars. That might be like the best Star Wars shirt I own.
I'm sure, like, give it like a week and Disney will have sued that place into oblivion and the restaurant will no longer exist.
I really don't want that to happen because they got some really good Tex-Mex food.
Well, Disney's listening.
They've been around for like
this podcast right now, and they're going to shut down the restaurant. So you're probably going to have to censor the name of a restaurant for our listeners. So if you hear any loud bleeps, that's why.
Yeah, sure. Is someone talking?
Because everyone knows that Disney executives listen to our podcast, right?
I'm sure from all the content of their content that's played on Tune Radio, I'm sure they must have some level of awareness of us.
I mean, hey, we got some good – I mean, I talked to one of the PR guys from Right Stuff about hooking us up with, like, reviewing some products for them because I did that drunk podcast, which is interesting because, like, what happened was, like, I did it that Friday night and then I remember on Twitter I told them that, like, I did that, and I was like, what are you going to do about it now? I'm doing this free promotion. And I never heard back from them because I didn't think they would ever respond. And then 3 weeks later, I get a package in the mail from them, and I'm like, I don't remember ordering anything from Right Stuff. And I open it up, and I get two things, which is a DVD called Snot Rocket and Super Detective, starring Tebena Sankichi. And inside of it was a holiday card with my name on it, handwritten, with a Right Stuff card that just says, this is wah. This is WH. And so I emailed Right Stuff, or I sent him like a customer complaint on their website about like, hey, I got this package. I don't know what it means. And oh man, so anyways, like I think it was like within a day I got a response from the guy who I think runs PR for them. His name's Thane. And he was telling me like, yeah, that was on our part. We're supposed to write a gift saying this is what you get for drinking and podcasting or doing a review. And and then after talking to him for a bit, he's like, yeah, we would like to work with you guys and like sending out products to review. And I was like, yeah, sure, we'd be interested. So that's like pretty much all that's been said. I don't know if the guy's still on vacation or not, but I'll try contacting him again in a couple weeks and see if he's still interested in giving us stuff. So we'll just see how that goes.
There you go, man. That's dope.
So that was kind of like a gift, a Christmas gift from Right Stuff this year. Other than that, I mean, I guess my Christmas gift is the fact that another one, in terms of watching animes, I finished up the third arc for Armored Trooper Votoms, which is Dead World Sunsa. And I've had that DVD little mini collection from CPM for a couple of years now. So now I just got God Planet Quint to watch, which I have all of that on VHS in a back corner of a shelf in my closet that I will get to maybe even during my break. I don't know. Wait, VQ, can you hear us? I thought I heard something on your mic.
I think guess not.
I guess he's still working on it.
Yeah. John, what did you get for Christmas?
The JoJo's DVD, the much maligned, dub-titled Warner Brothers release.
Oh, yeah. That didn't end up being good?
Well, I haven't actually watched it yet, but everybody online was extremely butthurt about the fact that the menus were the same as every other DVD that Warner Brothers puts out. They were expecting them to be like Funimation menus or something. I don't know. But
this is Warner Brothers. Why would they expect that?
Yeah, but then like people were showing them pictures of Warner Brothers' release of the Lego movie, and the menus looked exactly the same. And they do look really weird and amateurish, like they were designed in the early 2000s or even worse than that. But, nice. But I think it's back. John's
mic went out for a sec.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other issue was that the subtitle track is the same dialogue as the dubbed version, which people online were really pissed off about because they want there to be two different translations. And I haven't watched it yet, so I can't say if the voices are good or whatever. But that's something I'll have to get to. I've seen the subbed version of it already, so you know, I do want to watch the dub now to compare it. But also, I got the Goemon anime from Right Stuff. They had it on sale for $5 for, I think, 23 episodes or something like that. So I got that, and I think it's an ADV dub, and it's a box set. And I still have to check that out, watch that. I have the N64 game from, probably got it in 2000 or something. And I remember liking it a lot when I first got it, but I don't think I've ever beaten the game or anything. But I'll have to check out the anime at some point. And also got a couple of games for Wii U, like Mario Maker and Shovel Knight, both of which JT has been trying to get me to buy for quite a while. So I'll have to try out his levels or whatever that he's designed, because he's posted the codes in the chat for the ones he's designed, I think.
Yeah, he's pretty adamant about, like, everyone playing his levels. I mean, like, I don't blame the guy for doing that if we had all had Wii U's and Mario Maker to play it on.
Yeah. He hasn't really been on much lately, so I haven't talked to him about it. But okay. I will have to next time he's on. And also, I recently saw Hunger Games 4, which was pretty terrible. I'm glad that franchise is over.
Don't spoil that for me if you don't mind.
Oh, really?
Oh, crap. Yeah, I forgot that movie came out, too.
You guys haven't seen it? Okay.
I saw it. Yeah, I mean, it's a way to conclude the movie, or the whole series in movie format, but I don't even remember much of it. It's hard for me to really talk about it.
Yeah. I guess there's only one thing I wanted to mention, but there's one scene that's very out of place that takes place in the sewer, and I just felt like this is not consistent with the general tone of the movies. And
oh, where it becomes survival horror all of a sudden?
Yeah, I felt that was totally ridiculous.
No, I thought that was the best part of the whole movie, because then, like, stuff is actually happening and people are dying instead of just, like, we gotta avoid this trap, and oh no, we gotta keep running past the city block, and okay, we're safe. Let's have some more dialogue. We're about to go. All right, we need to talk some more about what we're going to talk about on where we're going to go. All right, I think we're going to move now. No, we got to have another thing of dialogue. That was the freaking movie.
Yeah, well, it was the most exciting part of the movie, that's for sure. But it just it stands out like a sore thumb with the rest of it. It just doesn't go well.
Well, the fact that I don't want to spoil that other part, but like, okay, I won't, because Daff is on here. I don't want to say too much about, like, towards the end.
Yeah, right. I will say towards the end when, you know, the climactic scene happens, the these old people that were sitting in front of me who are like the only other people there, because the movie's been out for a few weeks and it's only got a few showings a day now, but yeah. These old people, they started like clapping when the villain, you know, what happened with them happened, and it was pretty funny because they're just excited about it.
Probably because that was the most exciting thing in that entire movie.
Yeah. But there's just, you're right, there's so much of just pointless scenes of them, like, walking around the district and sitting around and shops, and it's just like, okay, enough already. This really should have just been one movie, and they could have cut a lot of the fluff that made it so boring.
I remember the first part of the one, the most recent one, was just fucking terrible. Mm-hmm. Because they split the book up, like all the exposition happened, and there was really no action in it. Like, and
you must be talking about part one. I mean, the only action thing that happened was some trees attacking them, and a bunch of people going to a dam and blowing it up. That was it.
Yeah, Katniss was extremely weak. Like, all she was like was like, "Oh, my pita," and just like really upset. Like, she didn't even really use her bow.
Yeah, I think she fired like one arrow in that movie, and then this one she fired like maybe two or three.
Yeah, it was the fact that she took down a plane with it, which I watch Hunger Games, and like I get sucked in thinking like it's going to be like Rambo with like a really good action movie. And then it just kind of like – it kind of would lead up to it, like it might lead up to it. And then it just falls on its face and like, oh, there's got to be more talking about like why this arrow was shot. It's like, dadgummit, just shoot the arrow. Like just – blow the plane up in an atomic explosion, make it look cool. And none of these movies know how to do that.
And there's just the endless, like, who's good and who's bad? Who's Peter going to be, you know, whose side is he going to be on? And
I can't trust myself. I don't know who to trust.
Yeah. And who's Katniss going to fall for? And it's just, oh, it's so awful.
Who fucking cares?
Dude, it's for teenage girls. They don't know what's good for them.
Yeah.
Very much.
I hate to piss that group of demographic off, but that's the truth. You'll know eventually.
And then for my other closing remark about Christmas, apparently Chris Chan got everything on his Amazon Christmas wish list. I'm going to read his Facebook post about it. I just checked my wish list again. I was not aware of how the wish list works on Amazon, but upon further inspection, I have learned that it got cleared out the first time because people have purchased the lot for me, or at least as far as I can tell. If I do end up with two PS4s and cameras, I will personally donate one of them, as well as the double figures, to a local children's charity. If y'all
I don't think anyone wants him to do that. I think they want him to use the cameras so he'll fucking record more content for them and be a
You can get 4K footage of Chris doing selfie descriptions and dancing like a freaking idiot.
If y'all are still looking to gift more for me, I am adding more new things to my list, and donations through my listing on Etsy would be very much appreciated as well. Thank you all. This has been a very nice holiday so far, and still to come. And I wish each and every one of y'all a happy and safe holiday season. Smiley face.
At least he's concerned about our safety.
Yeah, well, we'll be safe as long as he stays away from us.
Just and don't GameStop. Go to Virginia ever.
Yeah. And stay away from all the video game stores there. But it's pretty amazing that people would buy him not just one, but two PS4s. That's just nuts.
I know, that money could be spent on much better things. Like maybe his mom's teeth or something. I don't know.
Or bleach.
Instead, he's going to spend all the money he gets on the Etsy donations that he's soliciting on more Legos. Even though he probably makes enough per month just from the tugboat to deal with his mother's tooth issue that he's always complaining about. He acts like this is like some unsolvable problem unless people give him more money, even though if he just controlled his consumption, he would easily be able to solve it.
I know, but that just makes too much sense, does it?
Yeah. Then he wouldn't be able to download every single piece of downloadable content on the Nintendo eStore.
Alright, it was a yeah, but now it's a no, so I think he's just listening in.
Oh, well.
Alright. I guess the only thing I wanted to say was the fact that Christmas Day was also the release of our most hated anime reviewer, Bennett the Sage, put out a review for Bubblegum Crisis. And it was one of those reviews I've been dreading on him putting out because I knew it was going to happen eventually. And I knew I would, because I'm the fan that I am, I would want to check it out and see what his crappy opinion is. And it was everything I expected it to be, terrible. And even Daft saw that too.
I watched part of it. Like, I haven't watched Ben the Sage, I think, in like 3 or 4 years. But I was very disappointed to see that he predictably ripped off all the other critics by including an original, and by original, I mean blatantly ripped off from something else, in this case, Max Headroom. Yeah. And just like really unfunny characters that is supposed to add to like, to be distractions from the fact that the main person you're watching is a giant autist. But, and he spent like 10 minutes, like, I'm someone who really enjoys like the background and like how the thing got made, why the thing got made, but he spent like the first 5 minutes of the video ranting on something that really had nothing to do with the show at all, which was that, oh, the properties I don't like get DVD releases, but the shows I do like don't get released. Because he doesn't, like, that implies that he doesn't understand, like, rights holders and the fact that some people are just huge Jews and don't want to let go of their IP unless they get a shit ton of money. And it was so bad.
I haven't missed anything, because the last time I saw his videos was Violence Check, and that was a review he never reviewed. And he even made a comment, like a little like hint at the wink at the giant wink at the camera that like, oh, like terrible anime gets made, and he has Violence Check up, and I'm looking at it like, you never reviewed that, dude. You didn't do anything with that, and he still wants to show it in the camera it's still counted as a review, which is utter bullcrap. And then he goes on that whole thing where, like, he brings in, like, it's always a freaking skit. And, like, in 15 minutes in, he finally starts talking about the anime in some way. And, but his thing was the fact he wanted to, like, get into, like, well, why do people like this? Well, why, you know, you want to know why? Because, like, we happen to like it. Like freaking Moe fans like Moe shows. You either like it or you don't. And he's thinking like, oh, it's a scientific nostalgia glasses thing and why it's got this certain charm. And like, okay, yeah, it does have a certain charm that eventually I came to like it and love the anime as much as I do. But that's not the ultimate freaking idea that you think it is, dumbass. It's like, but the whole Max Headroom thing was the most, in a way, the most interesting part, because it was like explaining the economic bubbles and how like America and Japan were sharing that economic power during the 80s at the time, and why it influenced bubblegum prices the way it did. And that does make sense. That's information we've all figured out 20 freaking years ago.
So what happened? He dressed up as Max Headroom and started talking about the fucking financial bubbles?
No. There was a CGI computer thing that started doing his review for him, and it was terrible looking.
This guy, I've never watched one of his videos, but he just sounds terrible.
I didn't mind him in the beginning. I really didn't. And then, like, the more it went on, the more, like, uninteresting it became. And then, like, eventually, like, I just wound up hating him completely because of, like, he does a Violence Jacket was a review he never reviewed. And he's so full of himself that he has, like, a Patreon. Like, really, people want to give him money just to, like, not review stuff?
Yeah, but it's like giving $50 to a Kickstarter for this podcast.
We should start a Patreon. Some people would probably donate.
There's a level of douchebaggery that I do not want to cross. Apparently, VQ thinks that I'm a douchebag because I do a Twitch channel. And people on Twitch apparently like giving you money for stuff. I haven't even pressed that when I go on there and do streams of stuff. And like, I build model kits, and other people in the creative section build model kits, and I just do it just for fun and to talk to people, but I never ask for money. And maybe like I should post something up of like, you know, if you're free to donate, but like I'm not throwing that out to people of like, oh, thanks for following me. Please donate money to me. Oh my God. Like, oh, but it's just something fun to do. Like that's kind of the part of the Twitch experience is just like you play a game and people can interact with you. And depending on the game that some people play, like I kind of will see it. And I'm like, oh, cool. You're playing this game. We can talk about it because I know this game, and they're like really excited that I'm talking with them about it because they think nobody else knows about it. And that's kind of like it's a good side of the Twitch experience there is that social interaction through like a source of media that everybody plays anyway or does something creative or a talk show or whatever. And it's like, no, I'm not being a pretentious douchebag because I'm using Twitch to build a model kit that to socially to talk to people that we basically talked about Gundam and Evangelion for like 2 hours. So
you went on such a rant about this that Viku left the call.
No, he left before I went on a rant about it. That's why I'm ranting.
Oh, okay. I figured you were just trying to piss him off.
Oh. Nah, he won't even... He doesn't listen to our stuff anyways. So...
Well, I think he must have left because his mic wasn't working.
It probably was. But...
No, it seems to be working fine yesterday.
Yeah, funny how that happens. No, I mean, I'm just kind of using Twitch as a fun little project or kind of thing that I do. And, like, people, like, whenever I stream and, like, I'm up there long enough, like, somebody comes in and talks to me and I usually interact with them and they usually subscribe. And I don't have, like, a following list that I want to get, like, a certain number of people to follow me. It's like, if you want to, you can. I mean, I don't really care either way. So, I mean, that's kind of all I got to say about that.
So if Right Stuff starts sending us stuff, that would be pretty cool, though. I mean, especially if they send us Gundam.
Yeah, we can definitely review the sets and talk about them. We've talked about the shows already, so it'll just be like kind of a brief summary of it, but then kind of really like, okay, well, here's some of the cool stuff they added in the DVD or the Blu-ray or whatever, because we both have Blu-ray players.
Well, what I'd like is if they sent the Turn A series, because I've only seen the movies.
Okay. I mean, I'll see what I can set up. I just kind of threw out that, like, hey, I have a co-host that would be interested if you're going to send us stuff. And that was the last of the conversation. So I'll talk to Thane again and see what I can do. But hey, he seemed pretty excited to work with us.
Daft, have you seen this thing that Cloud's talking about in the Slack chat with the Linkara Megaforce or whatever?
Oh, he's referring to the Linkara put a review out for us. For the Star Wars Megaforce or something. Or not Star Wars, Power Rangers Megaforce.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't gotten that far into the video series. The comment is, finishing video 5, and it cuts to real Linkara taking a handgun and firing fake bullets that he runs out of somehow at his wall, and he's laughing at, like a psychotic straitjacket. Like a psychotic straitjacket is pretty awesome. That's a great tagline. I'm gonna steal that.
That sounds like Linkara.
But yeah, overall, Linkara I think has progressively become more mentally unstable over time. I think after the tranny left him, I think that really did.
That RPG Iron Maiden chick or whatever.
Yeah, Rip Iron Liz. I think Iron Luke, I think, at this point. But, yeah.
Wait, when did she leave him?
A couple years ago, but just Linkara's become... I mean, all the that guy with the glasses stuff, they keep trying to top themselves, and it's just fucking horrendous.
Yeah.
Those guys terrible actors, though. Like, all of them.
Well, what do you expect? Like, most of these people have, like, autism.
Well, yeah. It's like acting for the autistic, pretty much.
By autistics. Yeah. Autistics. So it's just all this big circle of an implosion that's going to destroy everybody in its vicinity. So I don't want to be near that black hole when it happens. I just know that the new Nerd episode where he reviews Mortal Kombat Anthology with Sub-Zero was actually pretty funny.
Oh, that one was good, yeah. And I liked the 25 Days of Christmas, too.
Yeah, with the video game box art.
Uh-huh.
Like, he critiqued, like, the artwork where it's, like as an art professor would, which I found really, like, interesting and funny.
Definitely.
Because James Rolfe has a lot of talent.
Could you believe that he reviewed the game for Super Duper Sumos?
You sent me that video, and I still find that very interesting. More so the fact that anyone remembers Super Duper Sumos whatsoever.
I never even heard of that until I saw it.
It aired on the very notable Nickelodeon Slam Block, which aired on Sunday afternoons and featured such well-known shows as BattleBots. But Ugly Martians was on that.
The
early 2000s Speed Racer cartoon and Invader Zim after it got shit-canned.
Okay.
I think Men in Black was on there, too.
Yeah, that's right. Men in Black was on there.
Men in Black isn't actually not that bad of a show.
Yeah.
No, it really was a decent cartoon for what it was.
Yeah, most of those WB 90s cartoons, I think, really still hold up today. And that's a good thing.
Yeah,
What I did with my parents for Christmas was, like, my brother and I were looking through our rooms for stuff that had Christmas stuff on it. And I pulled that volume 2 of my Animaniacs set, which had like the 2 Christmas specials on there. And we popped that sucker in, and my parents, like my dad and my mom, had a blast watching that. And like my brother and I were like laughing at everything. I was like, this show holds up so well after more than 20 years.
Yeah, I saw this on
That's a really good thing, yeah.
I saw this on the Hub a year or two ago, and they were pretty funny. It's a shame the Hub doesn't exist anymore, though.
I still can't believe the... I mean, we talked about this last night. I still can't believe Hasbro failed with the Hubs as badly as they did. Just immense failure on their part. When they were probably one of the few companies that could have succeeded, they just fucked it up.
I think probably just not enough networks. I mean, not enough homes had it.
Yeah. I mean, Discovery Kids was like Disney XD tier, though. That's not that bad. I mean, obviously they weren't going to be able to compete with Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network, but I mean, it's still really surprising how badly they failed. But what can you do? Rip in peace. Hopefully the, at least My Little Pony, I think, is getting a theatrical film. So at least the Bronies will be happy.
Is that still going, the Brony thing?
Yeah, no, it's airing on whatever, is it Discovery Family or something? I forget whatever actually replaced
it. Well, that's the channel it is now, but.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't looked at that channel in years. Like a long while.
Ever since Ghost folded, I haven't been hearing as much from the Bronies, mercifully.
Speaking of Ghost, he was supposed to do a Christmas stream, but was a fucking no-show, which is extremely disappointing.
Typical Ghost.
Oh, man.
Maybe he'll be back next year.
I just wanted 2 hours of, I told you so, and check out that archive, you some guns.
Cans.wave.
I hope he does one on New Year's Eve or something, and lets people call in. That would make it really good. The best part was when people would call in and call him a racist or whatever, and then he'd start screaming.
I'm not a racist!
That's me hitting like 20 bottles of water out of my trash can. It's not the same as cans.
Yeah, it's not quite as good.
Nah. All right, I tried and failed ultimately at that.
I just missed the impressions that he would do, like the engineer, and I think he did some sort of like Muslim impression too. And
he did. I don't remember that one. That's pretty solid.
And there was he would sometimes have like a ghost mass or something, where he would have the listeners like call in and confess the capitalist confessions segment. You guys remember that? And he would start chanting like, oh, and
that was really weird. I never really understood that.
Yeah. Well, I think Ghost was an atheist, and he just would like make fun of Christians.
Funny how he came from a conservative. He was a former conservative, and conservatives are naturally like Christian and some believe either by Lutheran, Baptist, non-denominational, or whatever.
Yeah, he would like make fun of religious colors, from what I can remember. But he made fun of everybody, and I'm pretty sure he made fun of the atheist colors too. Ghost is just like an all opportunity ridiculer.
Hate everybody.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Daft, I'm pretty sure like you're more tired than me.
Yeah.
Go ahead and.
Okay. Yeah, we got like an hour 50.
I want to add.
So this
I kind of want to do like. I mean, eventually, I kind of want us to do like a podcast or like a Toon Zone origin story, and get people on for that. But that's not tonight.
Definitely not.
No.
Yeah, we'll have to do that another night, maybe later this week or whenever.
Okay.
And get something organized.
What's our next anime review going to be? Like the Cobra movie?
Yeah, we can do that. Man, I would like to get Sean Ryan back on so we can talk about the second Guyver movie, because we did the first one last year.
Oh, yeah, the Guyver movie. That would be something, too.
Yeah, I'd like to get him back on to do that.
The second one's called, like, Dark Hero or something, right?
Yeah. I've got a, I ripped that up from YouTube, like, a couple years ago, so I still have that file on my computer, but I think it's still on YouTube also. So you should really have access to it.
Okay, well, that's all for this week. Tune in next time for Cobra or Toon Zone Recollections or Digimon or something.
Something autistic.
Yeah.
Extremely autistic. For the Autistics of Yesteryear podcast.
Spurg life.
Well, everyone, glad you had a very Merry Christmas, even though this is going to come out after the New Year, and have a Happy New Year. Man, it doesn't matter. It's better just to shut this down. Thanks for listening. Super duper servo! Whoa! Super duper servo! Hey, I got super duper servo! Whoa! Super duper servo! Big ol' bus! Under! Two! Super duper servos! Whoa! Super duper servo! Hey, I got super duper servo! Super duper servo! Big ol' bus! Hey, I got big ol' bus! Let's get back! Super duper servo! Super duper servo!